Can we admit that we're all transfixed by that sick little soap opera trial in Exeter, New Hampshire?
What time did you get here today?
1:30 this morning.
1:30? Why?
Wanted to get a front row seat, I guess.
If this story were a made-for-TV movie, and it surely will be, you might not believe it.
It is August 1st, 1990. Time is 10 a.m. Seabrook, New Hampshire. We're about to do a one-party consent via telephone.
Sat around brainstorming the pros and cons of slitting a man's throat rather than firing a 38 caliber projectile through his head.
Yes.
There's only one person in the state of New York who is sitting in prison tonight with a sentence of life with absolutely no possibility of parole.
Yes, I need a policeman. 4D Misty Morning Drive.
Okay, what's going on over there, ma'am?
There's somebody screaming for help outside.
I was 15 years old, sitting in my grandmother's living room just a few miles from the Exeter courthouse, watching New Hampshire's first televised murder trial flicker across a bulky TV when Pamela Smart was tried, convicted, and sentenced to accomplice to first-degree murder in the death of her husband, Greg Smart. I'm Mel Barrett. Welcome to the In Between podcast. I still remember the adults, mostly women, around the room shouting at the screen, analyzing every inch of Pamela Smart's posture, her hair bow, and her lack of tears. Back in 1991, we didn't question what the newscasters and tabloids fed us. Ice princess, cold bitch, manipulative widow, teacher's deadly seduction. This is who we thought Pamela Smart was, and we reveled in her downfall, gladly joining in the chorus of "Ding dong, the bitch is dead." But over a decade ago, I started to see Pamela Smart differently. Maybe in the same way some of you started to change your perception of Karen Reed, Amanda Knox, the Menendez brothers. I started pulling at the threads of this case for the In Between podcast, and that neatly packaged tabloid caricature completely unraveled. When you strip away the sensationalized Helen Hunt TV movies, the misogynistic Ice Princess headlines, and the gavel-to-gavel media hysteria, what is left is a chilling, constitutional nightmare. I feel compelled to tell this story because the 1991 trial wasn't a pursuit of justice. It was a masterclass in the science of suggestion and judicial failure. We are looking at a woman convicted and sentenced to mandatory life without the possibility of parole, largely based on garbled, static-filled wiretaps that were translated by uncertified law enforcement secretaries. Modern audio forensics and a brand new landmark habeas corpus petition now show that those transcripts literally injected confessions into the minds of the jury where none existed on the audio. Worse still, the three teenagers who carried out the physical assassination of Greg Smart walked free a decade ago, while Pamela Smart remains buried in a New York prison, repeatedly denied even a basic hearing for clemency. This isn't about claiming 22-year-old Pamela Smart was faultless. She openly acknowledges her immense moral failures, the inappropriate sexual relationship with a 16-year-old student, and her deep remorse for setting a tragedy in motion. But our justice system cannot be dictated by media frenzies, flawed evidence, and double standards. If New Hampshire's live free or die motto is going to be more than just a slogan on license plates, we have to care when a trial is fundamentally unfair, even when it happens to the woman America loved to hate. With her new legal team aggressively challenging the foundation of her conviction, based on the investigation I did in the first season of the In Between podcast, this 36-year-old case is finally reaching a major turning point. Tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern, I will be streaming on the Something's Off channel to break down the newly uncovered evidence, the massive constitutional flaws of the 1991 trial, the details of the new habeas petition, and what it all means for Pam's future. Bring your skepticism. Bring your questions for the live Q&A, and let's talk about what really happened in Derry in 1990. I'll see you at 7. Thanks for listening. Be good people. Don't do murder.